Work? Yes. Okay, so I'm here because, there were too many people around there saying, hey, you should rewrite your project into Rust. And I am maintaining a project in C which is like 25 years old, and I am saying no, and now I'm going to say why, or maybe why I'm not going to rewrite my project to Rust. I am not going to be as funny as that one before me. It's impossible. So please, if you are expecting something better, just you can go away. There is nothing to see here. Anyway, if you are not scared, yeah, the quest is simple. We have many years old C code base, which was written in like 1998, 99 in ISO C, and so we are expecting to keep this because it runs, and rewriting this completely to something else means like imposing more bugs than fixing. Yes, we do have memory safety concerns. There are lots of people actually saying anything written in C is bad because it's memory unsafe. And I am saying, well, it depends. If it doesn't crash for like last 10 years, I am asking you, where is it unsafe? On the other hand, we are improving it ever since. And in the new code, there are some problems, and we are fixing them continuously. But it's still a piece of software which is rather stable. So I am asking, why should I rewrite something to Rust when it's not broken? So the requirements are, I want to keep what works. I don't want to rewrite a whole parser written in C, which has been working for last 25 years. I want to automate most of the refactoring I am going to do to make the future updates safe. I want to lead the developers the way they should code. It's obvious that you can shoot your own leg in the most creative ways in C, and I am not going to make you not do it. I am just going to make it harder for you. I wanna allow all the food guns you wanna have, but it will be obvious that you are shooting your leg. And then on the code review, I'm gonna look at it and say, no, that's not going there. So, as I am saying here, it should be hard to write bad code, but I don't like making it impossible, because making the bad code impossible throws out even some good code. So, what I'm expecting to happen with unsafe code is, ideally, it's obvious build error, it's what Rust does, or there can be a static analyzer error, which is something you can just put into your CI, and then you say, well, it's killed by the static analyzer, I'm not going to include your updates. It can fail on some unit test, or it can just stick out. If I see a typecast in a plain sight in your changes, I say no, because you should not do typecast, but more on that later. And one of those requirements is, if some code is intended to be innocent, it must actually be innocent, which is a reason why I'm not going to rewrite it into C++. Because I don't want to study what's the plus doing, whether it's overloaded and where. So innocent code, the code which looks innocent, must also be innocent. Now, the controversial thing, how to do it. The easy part is, what should be the default? Basically, if you do something, do it locally. If you can do it locally, don't rely on anything which is global. You should put consts everywhere. This is something which Rust has done well. Doing it the opposite, making everything mutable, marked as mutable, and everything const is just const by default. There are other things like functions that are not pure. I am not against things like side effects. These are legitimate, but it should have a reason. What I hate actually is like returning things in the arguments and so, because it also obscures what you are doing. But what I am trying to say, the code should say what it's doing. And if you try to do it, if you try to write a code which shows what you are doing, then you should be safe. If you are writing a code which is adhering to specific rules, it's just adhering to specific rules. And the last point here, no void pointers anywhere. If you see any void pointer, just replace it by something else. There is no single reason to use void pointers, apart from things like the return value from the memory allocator. If you are allocating memory, yes, you get a void pointer, that's okay. But you should not put a void pointer as an argument of some object of some size. Not at all, never. But first we have to get rid of globals. It's typically a context. You don't have a reason to look at a global variable which says how you should, for example, format time. It's typically a context. Or it's a global information. It's something like how the page size, look, what's the page size? Well, yes, then it's a read-only global information and you are not writing it. Well, yes, then there is the really shared data and you probably have to do some locked access. It should be explicit. More on that later. This is my favorite part. You should not use void pointers. And I will say it several times again. You can use unions. Unions are good, unions are fine, and you can, with C11 and 18 and 23 or 4 or what's that now, you can use anonymous structures inside unions, inside structures. Well, yes, it looks ugly for the beginning, but you can use a structure, put there the type of what piece of the union is there, and you can use a macro. And if you are against macros, don't write in C. C is a language with macros. And if the macro preprocessor, if the C preprocessor is not enough for you, hello M4. Is there anybody who has written some M4 code in the last 10 years? Yes, I have written like 1,000 lines of M4, and it has a big thick warning at the beginning. Do not read this code, do not continue after this line, until you want to get brain damage. And I am not kidding, it actually is in the code, you can Google it, you can find it. You can have generated code. You can have a linked list type for every single thing you want to put into the linked list. So if you have one structure and these structures are put into the linked list, you have a linked list of these structures as a type. And then you have another structure and you put that structure into a linked list. You have a linked list of that structure as another type. You have a complete set of functions manipulating these data structures for every single data type. Yes, it is greedy. But we are in times where the compiler time is actually much cheaper than the time you spend debugging these problems. So please make the compiler do what the compiler should do. And yes, this is kind of abusing the type system. Please do it. This is one of those things C can do. And please do not typecast plainly. anywhere for any reason, if you want to typecast, you have to write a macro. And the macro says what you are intending with doing it. And not only that, the macro should actually check that what you put in is intended. It is possible, and I don't have it in this presentation, but I have it in the code. It's possible to check that the specific points you are putting in is actually of the type you are expecting to be put in. Yes, it is possible to write type checking macros. And if it makes sense, you should do it. There are other things one should do, like acquiring, managing the local acquired resources, like, well, you acquire something and then you return. Well, no, please. It should be the explicit releasing makes some problems. So you can have some cleanup hooks. It's not a new feature. It's a thing not yet standardized in C because it got in some very nasty problems inside the committee. But every compiler now is okay with cleanup hooks, which are executed when a variable gets out of scope. You can have end of task hooks. Hooks that are run just before you enter the poll again. You can have different types for different allocation scopes, and you just have to move the data from the locally allocated resource to the globally allocated resource, either by explicitly copying, to make it explicit that now you are writing something global. And yes, you should mark. Stack allocated data is the worst one. At least, please mark them. I don't see much of better things. Yeah, this is some example. This is how one can use an unlock macro. This basically is a function. It's a dummy function. It gets a size from some table, and the table has its lock inside. So to get the information, you have to lock. So there is a macro doing some weird things with the locking. The thing to look at is the return inside the locking, and the return is safe. You can return from the locked context because the lock is released automatically. So this means you can just let it go. The implementation is quite scary. One has to look through it and read through it. It takes some time in the beginning. When one gets to actually the grasp of what is doing, yes, then you can use it and you can be sure that it works. And there is, yes, this is one part, which basically you abuses a for cycle to do the block semantics, and there is also the cleanup function, which is called when the block is left, and this is basically you can see here it is, it's doing the object lock simple, and the unlocking is actually done in the cleanup function. And this is typically put in one place together in some header file. Yes, then there is some memory allocation strategies. You should use what fits your project. Do not beep at me. Yep. In BERT, what we are using... Yeah, I have not said that, but I'll return to that. In BERT, we are using hierarchical pools. And the pools are keeping track of everything. So if you walk from a root place, you can traverse all the allocated memory and show what's allocated and what's where. There is a temporary allocation. It just gets freed at the task. You do TMP alloc, and then it gets freed. You don't have to worry. You can also get temporarily some global resources. And it's the same principle. You reference it and immediately schedule a release task to be done at the end of the task. So You know, it's safe to store. It's not safe to, This I will skip. Yes, you can see it in BERT. You can see it in libucv. This is myself. Thank you.